Zazening is not difficult. There's not a thing to do, not a thing for you to do. Zazening is not easy. There is not a thing for you to do. Zazening is neither difficult nor easy. There is not a thing for you to do. Though we don't often say it so bluntly, we often believe that the world is the way we think it is. And maybe even more secretly, maybe only to ourselves, we believe often that the world should be the way we think it should be. Fundamental practice is when seeing, just seeing, when hearing, just hearing, and so forth, with all the senses, with all experiencing. The world we think of, think about, and all the related therefores and therebys, these can be called our so-called emotion thought world. Among the various whats that we tend to think about, think thereby, can be the physical conditions and circumstances of this body-mind, or can pertain to the nature and circumstances of the world, of other people in our life, whether those in our immediate circle, family, friends. As we practice, we begin to notice all sorts of dreams and expectations that we hold regarding this world. We may even discover that we have expectations about the nations of the world and what they should do, or how the physical environment of the world and the weather and the climate should be, or even what the universe should be like. And these various beliefs that we hold to about people, this world, our physical body mind, whether we see them as so or not, are what creates troubles and difficulties for us and for all humans and for all the myriad beings that share this universe with us. Simply said, much of what we believe about ourselves and about life are fictions, even though some of these might have been useful fictions in the past as a partial truth, as something that's temporarily skillful for specific purposes or circumstances at a specific time. Unfortunately, much of the time now, holding on to many of these beliefs is not skillful and actually is harmful to us, harmful to others. And when we live life based on them, these generate all sorts of anger, all sorts of greed and grabbing, all sorts of delusions that end up resulting in troubles. In a sense, we are all possessed, possessed at various times by tendencies, sometimes seemingly recurring tendencies, as I've just pointed out, our personal specific forms of greed, of anger, and various other delusions. These, we can call them various delusions and habits, are analogies to demons and ghosts that possess us, if we wish to call them that. We are possessed by demons and ghosts in that sense. And practice, zazening, is in part to note when and how these demons, ghosts arise and take over. Skillfully noting this is an important part of zazen. Since these arising ghost tendencies, these attachment habits and entanglements, these that possess us, whether fleetingly or over and over again, these are our opportunity of exorcism, the exorcism that zazening is, whereby we can release these ghosts and demons to allow them to dissipate in the midst of this moment experiencing as is. We don't have to figure out where they come from, where they go, what will be, will they return? This is not our concern. This moment, this as is the gate to the life that we are. Nothing else than this moment not knowing. In fact, it's not even a matter of entering this gate. We are right here. That is, unless we cling to and entangle in distortions and habits. None of this is a surprise or a shock to anyone who sits, who practices. We all see and experience this for ourselves. And yet, at times, we forget what we see. We forget our zazen, forget experiencing, and instead hold to these arising demons and ghosts, these self-centered beliefs and dreams. Even if we leave aside the realm of practice, basic science, especially the many scientific discoveries over the past 50 years, 100 years, 20 years, 10 years, have revealed to anyone who wants to pay attention that in myriad ways, all is not as it seems to our thinking and beliefs. When we say caught in self-centered dream, we are saying that everything we experience is often perceived as a filtered version of experiencing. If we turn to scientific knowledge, we know that there are many beings, insects, birds, fish, octopus, squid, animals of all sorts, who experience a world very different than we do, just as a result of their senses being different. Not that our world is the correct world. Our world is simply a product of the senses that we allow in or don't allow in. I'll list a few of myriad examples. For instance, whales and elephants have ranges of their hearing and vocalizing, which includes what we call infrasound, by which they perceive the world very differently, and by which they communicate over long distances. And we humans are not even aware of this infrasound, except with special instruments, even if we're in the midst of this. Many beings see ultralight, ultraviolet light, and other light waves that we don't see. In fact, it's said that humans see only about 1% of the hundreds to millions of colors that a bird can discern. So that, in a sense, birds, in seeing ultraviolet light, live in a world that is suffused with colors, myriad colors, all over on plants, flowers, prey animals, insects. We can't see it. We can only imagine what it's like, and we'll never be able to perceive it except with special tools and equipment, and even then, only in very limited ways. Now, this is just a tiny bit of the many aspects of perception and functioning in the world that we're always living in, which is true for ants, termites, bees, spiders, birds, elephants, sharks, whales. You can go on and talk about all these other beings with whom we share this universe. And this, of course, leaves out all the microbic forms, flora and fauna, both in us and in other beings and all around us. So, in a sense, use the word sense there, I should say, these beings are sensing the world and functioning in the world in realms that we don't see even as it's all around us. Birds flying, insects flying and perceiving gravity and magnetic forms and wind currents, earthquakes even. They navigate on that basis, hone in on locations, and we don't know this. We don't sense it. The point I'm bringing this up for is because we often forget, and forget to our detriment, and forget to our, resulting into our suffering and harming, is that every being and everyone that we meet, humans and others, perceives and lives in a universe that's very different than the one that we share, that we assume about. And unless we're willing to practice with our caught-upness, we are going to react and behave in ways which grow out of greed, anger, and delusions, and reinforce greed, anger, and delusions. So the point is, fundamental practice. So let me close this with a somewhat extended quote from Joko. Joko says, when you say something like, quote, things are perfect, close quote, that's from the absolute standpoint in which everything is changing, but there's nothing that ever really happens. And that's the absolute standpoint. From the human point of view, things are definitely happening, and some you don't like, and some you do. But again, it doesn't need to stick to any of it. We don't need to stick to any of it, I say. In a sense, it's all perfection. But then the human point of view, no, it's not. From that point of view, it's not. But the reason we want to see the absolute to point of view is because then we don't stick with things. It helps, just helps to see that a person that's who's being so absolutely obnoxious is perfect as he is, except that he does obnoxious things. And you can decide what you want to do about the obnoxious behavior, but you don't have to be angry about it. And that's the end of the quote from Joko, but that's what this zazening, this experiencing, this seeing this things perfect as they are, this absolute standpoint, allows us to release anger, greed, delusions. The whole point of talking, the whole point of practice, in a sense, is allowing us to be who we always are, which is to allow us to release, to open the hand that clutches greed, anger, and delusions. Thank you.